Okay, so today we're going to do a one-off. Not Tanya, we finished chapter 21 in Tanya, and I want to leave the other chapters when we start again. So we have a big break now because I'm leaving tomorrow overseas and then the summer, so we'll probably start like the last or the second to last week in January. I'll let everyone know. So I thought what we do today, just as a one-off, to understand a little bit the perspective of Hasidus on tefillah, on prayer. Why are you laughing?
No,
it's nothing. That's a good topic. So a little bit of an introduction. First of all, before we get to explain it, one of the fundamentals of Hasidus when the Baal Shem Tov began the whole movement of Hasidus was actually the focus on davening, the focus on tefillah, right? So before we start, I've forgotten that I just wanted to learn today Refuah Shleima for Reizel Bas Sabina. So, what is tefillah? Why is it such a focus? And so like this, because the reason, the reason was because tefillah is the time that we actually connect with Hashem. The dveikus, the idea of becoming one with Hashem, really happens through tefillah. Now we need to just develop this a little bit and understand it, because halachically, when we talk about the mitzvah of davening, the way it's defined in Gemara and the Rambam and so on, is the idea of what we call pakoshas trochov, to ask for your needs, right? Which is mainly expressed in the Amidah, right? Which is structured that we have three blessings of praise for Hashem, the last three blessings of thanks, and the middle ones are all our personal needs. And it's supposed to be like that. In other words, that is the definition of tefillah halachically. You're supposed to ask Hashem to realize that everything comes from Hashem. And therefore we ask from Hashem the things that we really need, and we have a proper conversation, and we're asking for those things that we need. Okay. Whether it's physical things like pranasa, health, etc., whether it's spiritual things like geula, our own tshuva, and so on. All part of Shemoneh Esrei, right? Now, obviously, we know that even before we get to the Hasidic approach, the part of the davening that's so important is kavana, is to have intention and feeling. Because if you're approaching Hashem, you have the audience of Hashem, and even if your purpose is to ask Him what you need, obviously you need to be in the zone, right? You need to properly talk to Him. Okay. However, Hasidus came and sort of revealed a little bit of a deeper aspect of tefillah. That the kavana of tefillah is not just because when you talk to Hashem and you ask Him for what you need to be focused. The kavanah itself is a part of the davening. In other words, that's the essence of davening. That davening is really, it works a little bit the other way around. In other words, the standing before Hashem in the Amidah and standing before Hashem in a sort of an intimate way, in a as the halacha says, ka'avdo kamimore, like a servant before his master, and really talking to him and asking what you need, that with total devotion, total focus, that's an outcome really of what tefillah is, which is connection to Hashem. The word tefillah actually comes from the word to connect. Now, tefillah means prayer, but tefillah also means, there's a expression in Mishnayos where it talks about it's got to do with the laws of purity and impurity, and talks about an earthenware vessel that breaks into different parts and you put them back together, you glue them back together. The expression that's used is ha-toifel kli cheres. Toifel, the same word as tefillah. Connecting the pieces of a kli cheres. We find this even in Chumash, Leah called Naphtali. This week's parashah, actually. Leah called Naphtali, the word's Naphtali, because she had an extra son, so she thought now she's connected more to Yaakov. So she says, Naphtule Elohim Naphtalti. In other words, connection, all about connection. Yeah. And this is always known among Siddin, where can you really connect to Hashem in a real way? That's tefillah. That each of the Masmid, the very great Chassid, is to say, he says, when do you get to meet Hashem, so to speak? When you love it. Right? That was the whole concept. Now, so now what do we see from all this? That kavanah in tefillah, you have to have kavanah in every mitzvah you do, but kavanah in tefillah is not just a detail, a subset sort of the idea of asking Hashem for your needs. It's part of the process of tefillah itself. It's much more of the thing itself, not just the means to an end, but it's part of the tefillah itself. Now, of course, we find this in the Chazal, right? Because although we just defined halachically that tefillah is bakoshas tzrochav, but where did Chazal learn the idea of tefillah from? They learn it from a pasuk, "Ulavdoi b'chol levavchem," to serve Hashem with all your heart. And the Chazal tell us, "Eiza avoida shebelev," what is the avoida? What is the service of the heart? That's tefillah. So in other words, Chazal defining tefillah as avoida shebelev. Right? They're defining tefillah as avoida shebelev. If that's the case, what is the purpose of tefillah? Not just to ask what we know, because we need extra bank account or something. But the purpose of tefillah is to connect to Hashem in an emotional level, right? And as the Rebbe Rashab said, the purpose of tefillah, he writes a lot about tefillah. In fact, the Rebbe Rashab, the fifth Lubavitcher Rebbe, wrote a whole booklet called Kuntres HaTefillah, the booklet of tefillah. Because when he started the Chabad Yeshiva, the Tom Chet Fim Yeshiva in Lubavitch, one of the great areas of focus was tefillah, was davening, right? So much so that there was a whole sort of guidance given how one should daven, how one prepares for davening, what the reflection should be before davening. And these were very, very big chevra. They would become the chachamim, big chassidish abachrim, and they were able to really follow that and really daven with great intensity. In fact, I tell a story that I heard this from my father-in-law a number of times, that in the yeshiva, there was a time in the high day of the yeshiva, there were 300 bachrim, 300 students in the yeshiva. And davening was a great focus, and everyone for everyone, but there were like 30 bachrim who actually davened much longer than the minyan. They had special permission they could do that they could keep davening longer than the minyan. They would daven much slower and much more intensely. And everyone would finish davening, go eat breakfast, whatever. They would still be davening. They would daven for quite a long time. Okay, in the month of Elul, they say that it was 100 bachrim used to do that. It was upgraded, right? One time, so they used to daven in a separate room. There was like a separate room called a cheder sheni. They would go in there, not to disturb what's going on in the main base medrash. They would go in there, that would be the place they would continue davening. And so one time, they tell a story, there were about 30 bachrim davening there. And the Rebbe Rashab walked into the room, unannounced, right? And of course, people saw that, right away stood to attention, except for two bachrim. I don't know who the second one was, but the first one was Reb David Horadokar. David Horadokar was a very, very big chassid. And he didn't notice Michal Rebbe Rashab was there. He just was in his own world, completely conjuring up Avas Hashem, love of Hashem. And the Rebbe Rashab said later that those two bachrim covered the expenses of the Holy Yeshiva, the rest is just profit. The rest is a bonus. So that's Keren, that's like the essence of the Yeshiva, worth it for them. The rest of us. Okay, he says that was the word. The word was that the davening is to come to avos Hashem, to love Hashem, ula avdoi, and to serve Him b'chol levavchem with all your heart. Right? That was the idea. And service of the heart, like the Gemara says, the idea of tefillah. Yeah. So therefore, we find that even in halacha, the Rama in Shulchan Aruch writes that before one davens, one should stop and think a little bit. And the way he says it in halachic terminology is, he should think, chayav adam, a person should think, b'roimim musakel, about the greatness of Hashem, v'shiflus adam, and the lowliness of man. Right? That's before you daven, so that you know who you're connecting to, you know what you're aspiring to. And therefore we find in Chassidus this whole idea, for example, that davening is a process, a journey, actually coming from this week's parasha. This week's parasha, Yaakov is running away from Esav. He's running towards Lavan, and the pasuk says, "Vayetze Yaakov." Yaakov went out from Be'er Sheva. Vayelech Haran. He went to Haran, and the way he stopped at the Harabai's Temple Mount, and he went to sleep there. Right? Vayachaloim, and he dreamed. Vehine Sulam Mutzav Arza. There was a ladder that was very firmly on the ground. V'roishoy Magia Shomayma, and the head of this ladder reached the heavens. Right? So in Chassidus, it says that pasuk refers to tefillah, refers to davening. When a person gets up in the morning, he's mutzav arza, he's very firmly in the ground. He's been a night without his neshama, and he's very ungodly. And davening has the power. Davening is a ladder, and there's many rungs of the ladder. There's brachis, and then there's psukah de zimra, and there's brachis hashma, the shmoneh esrei, right? And davening is a ladder, sula mutzav arza, it's a ladder which takes you from being very firmly established on the ground to climb that ladder and to go towards heaven, Obviously, in that earth and heaven, there's many, many levels. It's all relative, where that's where the person is, and so on. But that's the idea of tefillah. Yeah. Okay. That's just an introduction to this idea. I want to sort of explain a little bit the idea of tefillah. Okay. By the way, how does that fit into the fact that Shemoneh Esrei is all about asking for our own needs? Because what happens is, in the ladder of tefillah, the highest rung is the Shemoneh Esrei. Actually, Shema is like one of the, we'll get to the end, Shema is like one of the like punchlines of tefillah, and then it goes, we move into Shemoneh Esrei, which is the ultimate bittul, it represents the ultimate bittul to Hashem. And interestingly enough, dafka there, we have this thing that we davening to Hashem, we ask for our personal needs. If we have time at the end, I'll explain the whole, one of the Rebbe Sichas on this, of how that actually comes together. Okay, now, so to understand the idea of tefillah in a nutshell is like this. We have to understand that in our connection to Hashem, the Pirkei Avos tells us that on three things the world is established, right? Ala Torah, v'ala Avodah, v'ala Gmilus Chasadim. Torah is learning Torah. Avodah means service of Hashem, which originally meant the idea of bringing korbanos. And nowadays, the Avodah, that service of Hashem, means tefillah. As we know, tefillah, and we'll see this is very relevant later, tefillah, b'mokim korbanos tiknum. Tefillah was made as a substitute for korbanos. So they're related to korbanos, which we'll see why later. And that's very relevant to the whole idea of tefillah, right? And then gemilas chasadim is acts of kindness, which is a broad word for the idea of mitzvahs, right? So our connection to Hashem, we have Torah, we have tefillah, and we have mitzvahs. Those are the three pillars of how we connect to Hashem. So gemilas chasadim, doing mitzvahs, that's the practical behavior of what connects us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the practical behavior. But the first two, Torah and tefillah, is two parts of communication. So we have two ways how we communicate with Hashem. Torah and tefillah. What's the difference? Right? Those are two things that have to do with the mouth, with learning, with saying, with davening, whatever the case is. And there are two critical components. Obviously, the purpose of Yiddishkeit is mitzvahs at the end of the day, because we've got to bring Hashem into the world, we've got to connect the physical part of the world to Hashem. But before we get there, two critical components of connection to Hashem is Torah and tefillah. Torah we learned at the beginning of Tanya, the greatness of Torah, we learned Torah, you also connect Hashem, you klag Hashem, you internalize Hashem, and so on. Then there's tefillah, and we've said before, Tuchsidus puts a very, very big emphasis on the idea of tefillah. Now, I want to share with you four differences between Torah and tefillah, and then we'll unpack it and see why all the differences exist. So the first thing is, I'm sure you've heard me say this before, the difference between Torah and tefillah is like this. Torah, I'll use the words of Chassidus and then translate it a bit differently. Torah is what we call Hamshacha, bringing Hashem down. Tefillah is bringing us up. How that translates basically is, Torah is Hashem speaking to us. Tefillah is we speaking to Hashem. Now obviously we speak both things, but what are we doing? We're learning. We're learning, we're just absorbing, we're listening to, we're repeating, but we're listening to Hashem's words. Hashem is talking to us, telling us what he wants us to do, he's telling us how his wisdom works, he's giving us his perspective, and we're listening. So Torah essentially is Hashem speaking to us. Tefillah is when we talk to Hashem. That's the difference between Torah and tefillah. Another difference is, tefillah focuses much more on the emotional part of the person. So it's called avodah shebelev, the service of the heart. Torah is much more focused on intellect, seichel. Hashem is sharing his wisdom. It's that the focus is the head, the focus is the understanding, right? Thirdly, we find the difference between Torah and tefillah. Tefillah, the Zohar says, sha'as sloisa, sha'as krova. The time of davening is a time of war. Tefillah is a struggle. I think on all levels, everyone will tell you that tefillah is a struggle, right? Torah is connected with shalom, peace. So it's calm, right? The struggle is to get to the shir. Once you start learning, it's geshmak, right?
Ain't that the truth?
No, I mean, the struggle, yeah. I'm saying once a person gets into learning, they will tell you, only the hard part of learning is the beginning. I mean, you have to work hard in learning, you have to understand. Chazal talk about yigiyah, and of course you have to work hard, but it's a work hard, it's a labor of love. In other words, you work hard to try and understand the pshat, try and understand the answer, but it's not a resistance thing. Once you get into learning, it's yeah. And but tefillah is different. Tefillah is a struggle. It's a war, it's a war. In the Chumash, there's a pasuk which says, Yaakov said, I came to Shechem or something, b'charbi u'b'kashti, with my sword and my bow. Weaponry, yeah. Says Targum, translates it. Sometimes you get a real insight of how some of the little words are translated by Targum. Targum says, what does it mean, my sword and my bow? But sloisi uvavusi, with my sword, with my prayer and my supplication. So in other words, weaponry, it's a symbol of war. I came with my weapons. In other words, tefillah, right? It's war. Okay. So we have to understand why that is. What's the difference? And the fourth thing, which we'll tie it all together, we'll explain it properly now, is that tefillah, obviously is both, but the tefillah focuses on the animal soul, the nefesh habamis, whereas Torah is on the nefesh elokis. Now, let's understand this. So we know, we learned in Tanya now, thoroughly, every yid has two neshamas, nefesh elokis and nefesh habamis. Okay. Both, according to Tanya, we learned it in the beginning of Tanya, both neshamas are governed by, in the conscious part of the neshamas, are governed by ten midas, ten koichas, ten powers, right? Seichel and midas, three seichel, three intellectual, chacham and adas, seven emotional, chesed, gvura, tiferes, and so on until you get to malchus. However, what also comes up later in Tanya and other places, it is spoken out more clearly, while that is true, and while both neshamas have both all ten koichas, the primary focus, the governing, the dominant force in the nefesh elokis is seichel. The nefesh elokis, that's why the nefesh elokis lives in the brain. Because the nefesh elokis primarily on a conscious level is about understanding Hashem, insight into Hashem, deep insight into Hashem, understanding Torah and so on and so forth, right? Whereas the nefesh, and it's the nefesh elokis where we say that through tremendously focused and hard work seichel, when we are trying to understand Hashem, we understand the greatness of Hashem, the nefesh elokis then, av chochma and bina, av aim, father and mother, give birth to midas, give birth to emotion. That comes later, that's something that comes later. The primary force of nefesh elokis is seichel. And that seichel gives birth to midas, to chochma and adas. Yeah? However, the nefesh habamis is different. Nefesh habamis, the primary force, the dominant force, nefesh habamis is midas. Impulse, emotion. In fact, this idea that we learned in Tanya that midas are children of seichel, because they're born from seichel, right? That's primarily only nefesh elokis that. Not so much the nefesh habamis. Nefesh habamis is instinctive. The midas are instinctive. Nefesh habamis sees food, wants to eat it. It didn't go through a whole study to understand what he was. He's hungry. He's hungry, he eats. He's tempted. Right? Tastes good, he wants to eat a double portion. It's very simple. That's not, right? And that goes by extension. All other gashmistic things and avarice and so on, right? That's why it's called an animal. Because animals are primarily emotional beings. They're impulsive, instinctive beings. Either have seichel also. The seichel is only to serve the midas. Right? Yeah, so you know, you hide something from a child, you hide that lolly from a child. And suddenly you find out, they figured out where it is, and they're using a chair, and they schlep a chair, and they get on the chair, they found it. A bigger child, an adult, right? Besides, wants to make a lot of money, it's a nice whole thing, how is he going to do it? But it doesn't start with the seichel, it starts with the midas, right? So the dominant force, it's an animal, nefesh habamis is an animal, that's exactly what it is. You have good animals too, but it's an animal. It's an emotionally driven force. Yeah, we're good at that? Okay. Now what we know is foundational to Yiddishkeit, and of course Exodus, that ultimately Hashem wants us to serve Him with both. He wants us to serve not only with Nefesh HaLakis, but He wants us to harness the energy that's in Nefesh HaBamis. Why? Many reasons, but one of the ideas we know that the Nefesh HaBamis as an animal actually has an advantage over the Nefesh HaLakis. Because primarily it's an emotional animal, its emotions are much stronger. The passion, the drive, the energy of the Nefesh HaBamis is much stronger. Much stronger even than the midas of the Nefesh HaLakis. Nefesh HaLakis can develop Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem, love Hashem in an emotional way, but it's born out of thinking, it's born out of Seichel. So even though they're children of Seichel, and it's not defined by intellect, it's defined by emotion, if you can do it right, if you can, you know. By the way, that Dovid Horadoka, I told you before that, I've told you this before, I think, but that he didn't notice that Rebbe Rashab, on his deathbed, they asked him if he reached the level of real Avas Hashem, love of Hashem, and he kind of half denied it, but he could really deny it, because he did. And he said, no, Kislev Yitzchak, he said, a little bit, tickled me a little bit. He said, no, I'm, you know, that was being humble, but that was Avas Hashem, it was through intense, you know. Okay, but if it's just from the nefesh of Lakis, it's a bit tempered, because emotions that are driven by intellect are a little bit more tempered. Right? Therefore, when we develop love of Hashem, if that love of Hashem, we can harness not only the nefesh of Lakis, but we can even transform or harness the energy of the nefesh HaBamis and get excited to serve Hashem and love Hashem, even from a perspective of the animal soul, it'll be much bigger drive. There's a pasuk that says, the Chassidus always brings, Rav Tvuois B'Koyach Shoyer. There's tremendous produce in the power of an ox. And I'll pick a bullet, I'm going to pick Chassidus, let's explain, it means talking about the nefesh HaLakis, nefesh HaBamis, I mean. That there's tremendous potential in nefesh HaBamis. By default, it's just a wild animal, but if we work with it and we harness it and we refine it and we elevate it, we can actually harness some of that tremendous energy that we can take only for the nefesh HaBamis. That doesn't really exist in nefesh HaLakis, and that's where we can get passion and excitement and so on and so forth. Yeah. So how does it work? It works like this. When Hashem took the Yidden out of Mitzrayim, it says, spiritually speaking, Hashem schlepped them out. What part of them came out? The Nefesh HaLakis. Nefesh HaBamis was still in Golus. Nefesh HaBamis was very untrained. Nefesh HaBamis wasn't a party to the Geula. That's why Hashem said, now you need to count to Omer before you can get the Torah. And the Omer must start with a flower offering from what? From Bali. Bali being animal food. Because that's the seven emotions that to refine Nefesh HaBamis. Why? Because when Hashem talks to us, only the part of us that is ready to listen, listens. What part of us, by default, is going to listen to Hashem when He talks to us? The Torah. When Hashem talks to us, what part of us listens? The part that's ready to listen. The part that's already refined. What part of us is that? The Nefesh HaLakis. When Hashem talks to us, the Nefesh HaBamis doesn't listen. It's not interested. If it's a default, untrained, untamed Nefesh HaBamis. Correct? So therefore, when Hashem talks to us, He talks Torah, He talks Seichel. He talks intellect. Why? Because who's He talking to? He's talking Nefesh HaLakis. So the Nefesh HaLakis understands intellect. That's the dominant part of the Nefesh HaLakis. Yeah? Hashem talks to us, He gives us the Torah. Learning Torah will strengthen the Nefesh HaLakis. Nefesh HaLakis also needs chizuk. Why? Even the Nefesh HaLakis is godly, but don't forget, we're talking about the Nefesh HaLakis that comes down here. Nefesh HaLakis, how it's already enclosed and trapped in a Nefesh HaBamis. It's evolved through Seder Ishtalshel, especially Anashamas, which are much lower Madrega. Yeah, its very essence, there's Chochmah and the Bittul and all that, but on a conscious level, it's not exactly, it's still trapped. It's godly, but it's... So it needs chizuk. We need to learn a lot of Torah for it, right? But learning Torah won't change the Nefesh HaBamis. Because learning Torah is Hashem talking to us, and that's strengthening the Nefesh HaLakis, not the Nefesh HaBamis. That's what Chassidus says, but if you evolve in learning Torah, but without davening, it's a big problem. Because actually the Nefesh HaBamis, in its untamed state, can actually take the Torah that you learn. And it can use it for bad. It can use it for animalistic purposes, because it's an animal. So he'll take anything. The Nefesh will take anything that you have and any resource that you have and use it for bad, right? That's why the Gemara says, "Zocha, if a person merits, then the Torah that you learn can be a potion of life. Lo zocha, you didn't merit, then Torah that you learn can actually become poison." Can add to your, you know, if a person's very become chacham, but he's not refined, can become a balgaiva, become an arrogant person because you know so much, right? And so on. But Chassidus says that Gemara has to be understood a bit differently. Zocha means, from the word lezakot, to refine. Zocha, if you worked with your nefesh HaBamis and you refined it, the Torah will become a potion of life. Loi zocha, you didn't refine it, become a poison, right? So therefore, like this, if a person just learns Torah without davening, there's two problems. First of all, you're not even changing your Nefesh HaBamis. Because Nefesh HaBamis doesn't understand Torah, it's unless you really explain it properly through davening, which we'll see in a second. But, right? He didn't listen when Hashem spoke to you. The Nefesh HaLakis is listening. Right? Because And also, not only that it won't change the Nefesh HaBamis, it can make you worse. Because now the Nefesh HaBamis can take the Torah you learned and turn you into a bigger Balgaivan, a bigger arrogant person, an egocentric person, and so on and so forth, right? Okay. So therefore, Torah must come with Tefillah. But Torah itself is Hashem speaking to us, and who is He speaking? Mainly to the Nefesh HaLakis, which of course explains everything we just said before about Torah. That's why Torah is Seichel, it's intellect. That's why Torah is Shalom, it's peaceful. There's no resistance. Nefesh HaLakis wants to hear, right? Nefesh HaLakis has no problem going to the Shir, right? He's excited. Hashem's talking to us. Beautiful. Okay, he's got to work hard to understand. He's got to work hard to understand the Tosfos, the Gemara. But Nefesh HaLakis has no problem with that. Right? So Nefesh HaBam is standing in the way. Nefesh HaLakis is fine. And therefore, once you get into the Shir, you've got, you know, you take your Nefesh HaBam, put him at the door and say, I'm going to the Shir. No matter what happens, you know what I'm saying? So then there's no resistance. It's fine. Because he's talking to Nefesh HaLakis. So what does Hashem give us? Hashem wants us to serve Him with every part of who we are. So He gives us davening. Davening is very different. Davening is about explaining the greatness of Hashem to the Nefesh HaBamis. Davening is to elevate. Now, that's why davening is elevation, not bringing Hashem. We talk to Hashem, and Hashem's not talking to us. Because davening is the hard work. The part of us that listens is already listened. We don't have to elevate the Nefesh HaLakim. Sorry? Yeah, but it's you'll see. I'll explain in a second. It's coming after the whole davening. Shema as part of the Torah. Shema, how you learn it in a shir of Chumash, and how you say Shema in davening is different Shema.
Rabbi, I've never asked you to talk quickly, but talk quickly. We've got a lot to cover.
You're asking me to talk quickly. Yes, you're
asking me to talk quickly.
I want it to sink in. Okay, right. So Shema essentially is talking to the Nefesh HaBamis. We take the Torah we've learned, we take the Chassidus we've learned about the greatness of Hashem, about how the world is nothing, how the Ramah says before davening, you think about the greatness of God, the lowliness of man, and you contrast them, and therefore you throughout davening we kind of highlight the greatness of Hashem and so on. Throughout davening, we'll soon see what we do, different parts of davening, we do different things, right? And we try to explain it to the Nefesh HaBamis. So he should also come, we should be able to awaken a little bit. Our emotions should change. We should be able to refine ourselves a little bit. But that's why davening is aliyah, it's elevation, not bringing down. Because we talk to Hashem, we're trying to elevate our coarse self. The part of us that's coarse, the part of us is unrefined. Which explains why davening is emotional, midas, because that's what we're trying to work on. We're trying to work on the Nefesh HaBamish, which the dominant feature of Nefesh HaBamish is midas, right? And that's why it's about the Nefesh HaBamis. And that's why it's time of war. Because the Nefesh HaBamis resists, not interested. Okay, the simple levels of war, because it's very monotonous and boring and say the same things every day. That's not really why it's like that. It's like that because it's resisting. The Nefesh HaBamis is putting up a fight. Now, how do we do it? It's a sulam, it's a ladder, right? So it says in Chassidus like this. I'm not sure exactly. There's a whole Kabbalistic ladder also that corresponds to different worlds. Asiya, Yetzira, Bria, it's the whole thing, right? But just a little bit of an overview of how this ladder works. So okay, we get up in the morning and we say brachas. We say brachas. We basically say Modi Ani. We make a commitment. So the first part of davening is more of a commitment. It's got to do with Modi Ani, the brachas that we say. We start davening with Hoidu Lashem. Especially the Sechari starts before Baruch Shammah, we say Hayudah Hashem. We're just committing. We're committing. We know what we have to do. We're ready for the process. We know it's going to be a fight, but we commit. We're going to do it. Then we say Psukei Dezimra. What's Psukei Dezimra? Psukei Dezimra, if you look at Psukei Dezimra, it's just praises of Hashem. Praising Hashem, right? Hashem made the world, the heavens, the this, the that. He feeds the donkeys. The donkey's not the main thing. He wants to fear Hashem. But greatness of all the things. He gives us parnasa. He supports those that fall. All these kind of things. He took us out of Mitzrayim. He split the sea. All that's all part of Pesukah Nezimra from Baruch Sha'omer until Yishtabach, right? So what's the purpose of Pesukah Nezimra? First of all, so Chassidus says it's to make a dent. Pesukah Nezimra makes a dent.
Entering the temple.
Yes, entering the temple, as it says. Yeah, so it's also going to do the temple. I'm not even saying it. It's also going to do the temple. So the brachas and moed ani, that's like just coming into the very courtyard. And Pesukah Nezimra is going to the ulam already, going into the thing. But it's very beginning, it's very early stages. Because what you're doing is you're making a dent. In fact, Chassidus translates the word Psukei de Zimra a bit differently than normal. Psukei de Zimra means verses, Psukei, right? Verses, de Zimra. Zimra means of song, praises to Hashem, right? However, there's another translation of the word Zimra. It comes to the word Lezameir Aritzim, to prune a tree, when you cut off the junk. Right? That's also the word Zimra. So Chassidus says, Psukei de Zimra is you start Psukei de Zimra to like chop away a little bit the ego of the Nefesh HaBamish, just to get him into a godly space. Nefesh HaBamish is running after food and this, that. You've got to get Nefesh HaBamish a bit of a spiritual stage, right? In fact, this word Zimra, I'll tell you just what, by the way, go to page 33. One of the things we're saying, I'll never forget this, I often think about it during davening, where the Friedrich Rebbe has a very beautiful pshat in davening. One of the halalukas, put 33 on the top, right? So we say, just after Ashrei, we say Halleluka, Halleli Nafshi Hashem, my soul, I will sing to Hashem with my soul, right? Then it says, Ahalallah. Oh, my soul, yeah. Ahalallah Hashem Bechayah. You see the pasuk? Ahalallah Hashem Bechayah. Which over here they translate, I will sing to the Lord with my soul. Azamro Leloikai, I will chant praises to Hashem. Be'oidi. Be'oidi means my entire being, right? Friedrich Rebbe translated it differently. He says, Ahalala Hashem, I'm going to praise Hashem b'chaya with my real life. What's my real life? The neshama. Neshama will praise Hashem. Sure, that's no problem, right? However, azamro lelokai, I'm going to prune for Hashem. I'm going to, be'oidi means oid, the second part of me. Not the real part of me. Who's the second part of me? The goof, the body, the shabamis, right? That's all. That's Pesuk HaDazim. Then we get into more intense reflection. That's the brachas of Shema, right? Now, we do a few things in Shema. I'll show you just a couple of things we do in Shema. First of all, before Shema, I mean, right? Okay, so there's more about understanding Hashem, Hashem's revelation, Hashem's this, and then, in the first bracha, we dedicate a whole section to the malachim, to the praise, to the angels. Why do we do that? How does the angels come in the middle of davening? On a very basic level, because we know there's a relationship between when we sing to Hashem and the angels sing to Hashem, we say that in Kedusha, like Kodesh, 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 right? Because when we praise Hashem, they praise Hashem, when they praise Hashem, they give us power to praise Hashem. That's the simple pshat of why we talk about the Malachim. But there's a bigger pshat. The bigger pshat's like this, and it's got to do with this whole idea. We know that Hashem created the world with Seder Hishtalshlus, evolution of worlds. Therefore, everything that exists in this physical world has its origin in spiritual worlds, right? Where does the Nefesh HaBamis come from? The Malachim. Why the Malachim? What are the Malachim called? Animals, right? Chayos HaKodesh, we even say in Davening. The Ofanim and the Holy Chayos. Malachim are called animals. Where do we get this from? We get this also from the famous celestial vision, the Merkava from Yecheskel. Yecheskel saw this, we read on Shavuos, a very Kabbalistic part of Tanakh. He saw the worlds up there. Right? We don't understand exactly what it means, but this gives a little bit of insight. It's a thing we read in the Haftorah of Shavuos. So Yecheskel saw a revelation of Hashem, they call it a celestial vision, Maisa Merkava. He says he saw the chariot. Chariot is like the throne of Hashem, so to speak. He saw the Odom, the man riding the chariot, which is a reference to Hashem, Odom Ha'elyon, the supernal man. And then he saw the four parts, the four components carrying the chariot. One was an ox, one was a lion, one was an eagle, whatever, all these things, right? Animals he saw. What do you see? It's malachim, a different kind of malachim. Now, why are malachim called animals? Because they are animals. They are emotional beings. That's what they do. They serve Hashem with full emotion. Michael and his camp serve Hashem with pure love. There's Gabriel and his camp serve Hashem with pure yirut, pure fear. They don't work to develop love Hashem. They are. That's what they are. That's their natural state of being. Only thing is, they are holy animals. Chayes HaKodesh. Their love is not for pizza. Their love is for Hashem. Right? In other words, they're actually, by definition, they are animals. They are emotional beings. They have also very deep insight to Hashem, the Rambam says, but their being, their personality is emotional. That's what they do. They serve Hashem all day with complete love and fear. Right?
And they don't
No. They have some sort of neshama. It's a very high neshama because they're malachim. They're not nuts, but they have just a very, very supernal animal personality. No. Everything only a yid has a chelik al kamei mamash.
And does this relate to like their single purpose? Like, is it the same idea?
Yeah. They work in different gevura, chesed, whatever. Yeah. They say sometimes they change also, but okay. But there's interrelationship. But that's the essence, right? So there are actually emotional beings who serve Hashem. So when we daven, we have to we meet resistance in the nefesh habamis. We've got to bring out in the nefesh habamis that actually this is not something new for you. I know you're an animal and you're an egocentric animal, and all you want is physicality and materialism and tivus and temptation and all that kind of stuff. But actually, in your spiritual source, you're a spiritual animal. You want Hashem. That's really what you want. Love of Hashem is not foreign to you in your source, in your origin. Down here, absolutely foreign to you. But in your source, and that's something very important to bring out.
The
Nefesh HaBamis evolves from the Malachim. Yeah, because our animal evolves from the supernal animals. Right? That's where our animal comes from. It evolves from the supernal animals. And that's what we've got to bring out in davening. That actually, this is... Because otherwise it's too much resistance. You're never going to convince the Nefesh HaBamis. But you got to bring out that actually the Nefesh HaBamis really can love Hashem. And can fear Hashem. Because where does it come from? It comes from those Malachim. Who fear Hashem and love Hashem. We're not asking the Nefesh HaBamis not to be an animal. Be an animal. Be an emotional being. That's who you are. That's what we want you to be. We want to harness that energy from the animalistic energy from you. The impulsive energy. The passion. We just need you to reveal your true source, right? And then we keep on keeping it more intense. Then we say this Shema, the one before Shema, right? About Hashem should shine us His Torah, and we talk about Hashem choosing us as a nation. All these things about the absolute. So Pesukim Zimra, we explain how the world is nothing. Hashem creates the whole world, and everything depends on Him, and everything. It just gets from Him. Then we get deeper about the Malachim and the Nefesh HaBamis and the Bechira, the deep relationship that Hashem has with the Jewish people, which we say in the Bracha before Shema, Uvonu v'charta mikol amvoloshein, right? V'keir avtonu, Hashem brought us closer, He gave us the Torah, He builds a relationship, He wants a relationship with us. We're getting really, really, the relationship is getting really, really strong here, right? I once had a recording, by the way, before we get to the punchline here, right? I once had a recording, there was a chassid, Rabbi Yisrael Noyach Plinitsky. Ah, such a beautiful recording. He was a chassid, he lived in Lubavitch, and he was an oivid. He davened extremely, extremely intensely. He lived very long, he lived over 100, and after he also came out, didn't die in Russia, he came out, and he was in yeshiva in France. A lot of the refugees, a lot of the Lubavitch refugees landed up in France. Some of them went elsewhere afterwards, but they started from France because that was like a holding place for many people who ran away from Russia. But he remained there, and he actually, in fact, he was given an instruction, I don't remember from the previous Rebbe or the Rebbe Rashab, he actually has to tone down his davening a little bit because they were worried that it's going to be too much. Like, but he's toned down davening. Halavai, we should get a percentage of his toned down davening. Okay, but anyways. So one time, this was a long time ago, before iPhones, before everything, right? But then, old real tape recorders, I don't know exactly. So one time he was davening, and he actually went into business. He was a bookkeeper, I think, or something. But a real chassidus, he's every day, daven slowly. So someone put a recorder once to record his davening. Amazing. Just see how he's connecting to the meaning of the words. So it's not the whole davening, it's the few parts. One of the parts is Pesukah de Zimra. He talks about the great special, Hashem feeds everything in the end, but beautiful, beautiful. And then he comes to this part before Shema. Before Shema, we say, the last part we say, Ki el poyel shuis ota, you are a God who delivers deliverance. Uvonu v'charta mikol am v'loshein. And you chose us from all nations, from all languages. And I remember it struck me that he was davening very bishmak, and the whole thing about asking Hashem we should learn and we should daven and we should serve Hashem properly. Very, 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 very beautiful. But when he gets to these words, a regular weekday davening, not like Yom Kippur or something, gets to Uvonu v'chata mikol avaloshen, he starts to cry. He starts to cry. It's like, that's what moved him the most, that the fact that Hashem chose us on a regular day. Yeah. Mazeda told me in Dokshis, where he came from, there was a very famous chassid, and his name was Rav Leiv Shenin. So some big chassidim used to daven differently. Some used to daven with a nigun, sometimes he used to stop. Some of these used to also stop in the middle of davening and sing a nigun and think the deeper meaning of the words, or pichsidus and so on, all this kind of thing, right? But this Rav Leiv Shenin, he didn't sing during davening, he would daven very quietly. But he davened hours every day, he would daven for a few hours. And you could see him in the corner of the shul, he would daven. He was the rav of the town. But he used to daven way beyond the minyan. And he said every single day, tears would just come streaming down his face. And every few minutes he would say another few words, and then he was thinking and crying. And avoid it. Okay, we're not in that madrega, but a little bit we have to try and put effort into davening, at least understand how the structure works, right? So then we get to the Shema. What's the Shema? In other words, like the Shema is, it's actually, in a way, it's the climax of davening to a certain point. Shema really is, but Shema is also, because Shema is, the idea behind Shema is that after we've gone through the whole journey, and we've contemplated and reflected on Hashem's greatness, we've understood the real origin of Nefesh HaBamis, now we're ready to really say Hashem Echad. But not Hashem Echad like we say Hashem Echad. Hashem Echad that there's only one, that's it, there's only one. There's only one reality, as we've been learning in Tanya, right? And to really connect to the words Hashem Echad in our brain, in our mind, to understand it properly, that really it's only Hashem Echad. And when we understand it properly, and we can explain it even with the Nefesh HaBamis, that there's only one reality, then ve'ahavtas Hashem Elokecha, then we can come to love Hashem. And that's where the loving of Hashem comes into the davening, the result. And we can love Hashem not only with all our heart, not only with all our soul, but b'chol ba'idecha, with mesiras nefesh, but complete commitment, giving us up, and we... And the idea is that when you get to Ava B'chol Avavcha B'chol Nafshcha, then you're in a state of real Ava Hashem, real love of Hashem. In theory, you know, that's right. Yeah? And then what happens? And then we continue. And we say, okay, now what are we going to do with that love? What are we going to do with that love of Hashem? We have to channel it. Love of Hashem is very nice. What are we going to do with it? Learning Torah, tefillin, mezuzah, do mitzvahs. In other words, the next part of Shema is telling us we've reached a point in the davening where even Nefesh HaBamis is thirsty to connect to Hashem. So the Shema says, okay, you thirsty? I'll give you the program. When you finish davening, mezuzah, tefillin, listening to Hashem, tzitzis, remembering Mitzrayim, whatever the case is. Right? That's the process. Then, when you're unbelievably committed to Hashem, not only by loving Hashem, but committed to the mitzvahs, then you can reach a point of bittul, complete bittul, where we're completely one with Hashem. Yeah? And that bittul is expressed in the Amidah. The Amidah is we don't say it loud, we don't sing. Amidah is you stand, because you're now in a state of complete oneness. That's the ladder. After davening, we've now reached the top of the ladder. After davening, we come down.
But your intent, after saying the Shema, your intent in the requests in Amidah are very different.
Oh, that's the word. So that's why, oh. So that's the crux of what the Rebbe explained. He explained in Rosh Hashanah, it's a very long sikha. I've given the shiur before. But that's why when you come to the complete oneness of Hashem, that's when you ask for your personal request. Why? Because then you're not asking for money because you want to have a nice fancy mansion. You're asking for money because you want to serve Hashem. And you want to have a house, be able to serve Hashem in that house. You want to eat, you want to have health. Because you only want it for Hashem's sake. If you ask it before you daven, then you're just an animal wanting gashmias, that's all, right? But you're asking it in Shemoneh Esrei, it's a whole different story. But Shemoneh Esrei really represents that oneness. Once we reach that oneness, then we come down. And all the stuff we do after the Shemoneh Esrei, like the Tachnun and the Ashrei and the Shir Shul Yom and all that coming, that's about coming down and going into the world, slowly transitioning back into the world, taking the davening with us and making the day different. Yeah? And that's the essence, yeah.
How does this work as a female when you don't necessarily say all?
Okay.
Like skipping
levels in the lap. Okay, so once in a while, so the idea is that when you can, you do more. So the first of all, there's the halachic issue of davening, right? And that's where the chopping and changing comes, right? But there are parts that are recommended that what one should do and what could do. For example, the same thing in Mincha. In Mincha, we don't do the whole thing, right? Okay, we rely on what we did in the morning a little bit. That's a famous question. Why don't we do it? How come a mincha we just daven Shemoneh Esrei? Somehow in the morning we need a whole journey to get to the Shemoneh Esrei. And mincha we say, boom, Ashrei and daven. Okay, so we take the chayes from the morning. And also we do say Ashrei. So sometimes we do it in a sort of a bridge form, the same idea. It's more what it represents. So if you can't say the whole Pesukah Zimra, if you say Ashrei, it's also good. That's also Pesukah Zimra. If you can't say the whole Brachas Shema, I say the Shema itself. I'm saying like that. But if you mamash can't, you just say the Shemoneh Esrei. And obviously, as we know, women, their Munna and their Avas Hashem is much stronger than men anyway, so they don't need such a big process. I guess Beruchnis, that's the thing, right? And also they have different forms of tefillah, different times they connect to tefillah. For example, like Lichbenchen is a time of tremendous tefillah, right, where it's different. So yeah, it works a little bit differently, but the idea is the same. The idea is the same. So where does that leave us? That's the question. Where does it leave us, right? So we talk about these big Hasidim who didn't notice the Rebbe Rashab coming in, and the Rebbe Leif Shainin and Davin for hours, and this recording, right? So we have to tell stories about them. We have to listen to the recording. We have to listen because we have to know what real davening looks like, so that should rub off a little bit, right? But the Rebbe Rashab writes very, very clearly that in other words, like this, what this drives home is the importance of putting effort into davening, right? And building up some feeling, that whatever it is, fast is more, maybe not such feelings like this, maybe it's more just in our mind, or a little bit, but we have to put effort into davening. It doesn't mean that we can daven like those people. In fact, the Rebbe Rashab warned against that. He said, if you're not up to that, don't do it. Like there was once a very sharp letter that the Friedrich Rebbe wrote to a yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, because he got a letter from a bacher in yeshiva. It was a young bacher, a young student, and he was a very serious student. He wanted to really, you know, daven properly and all that. And he wrote to the Friedrich Rebbe, he wants to know how to feel a certain concept that says, chassidus, how should he feel it in davening? And the Friedrich Rebbe didn't answer him, but he wrote a letter to the faculty. Who are you bringing up here? What, people who like, he says, chickens who haven't opened up their eyes yet, right? Chicklings, like it was a freichem. They have to daven on their level. So the Rebbe Rashab writes a whole program. It means that, yeah, to stop before davening, daven with a focus, daven a bit slower, to think about the translation of the words. Everyone in their own way. Some days works better, some days works less. It's good, but you have to know the framework. There are days that we get up in the morning and it just doesn't work. So we say the words, okay, that's also good. It's also a commitment. It's also a commitment. It's also something. It's also, yeah. Every davening is something, right? But we learn about it, so at least we know what we're aspiring to. Like everything, like the Bein and the Tanya, same idea, right? We learn about it at the top level, so we should understand what we're involved in. And then a little bit. If it's one line, it's one line. If it's a bit more feeling, a bit more emotion. If it's one paragraph, we try to think the translation. Good. It's an effort. It's an effort in davening. That's the concept. All right.